World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Now, I got thinking the other day. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the ninth day of December 2024. Did anybody ever think you'd ever see that day? This is show. My numbers, Spencer, say 2,601 show, but you say I'm off on those numbers. What is a number? What number do you have, Spence? He's looking there. 2,298? I'm way off. Anyway, with bunch of shows. And just wondering, as I sitting out here pondering as we get tip it off here this morning, why do you guys tune into this show? Do you tune in because, what would you call this show? What would you call this? I mean, just think this through a minute. Somebody said, hey, you ought to tune into the huddle there with Coach Dave. And they say, well, why would I want to listen? What would you say? What would you say? Is it entertainment? Is it information? Is it spiritual? How do you define what it is that we do here? It's really pretty tough.
And fellowship. You know,
fellowship. That's another. That's a fourth fellowship. Chad would say we were picking up where the church left off, or the church outside the church. I just want to, right off the top of the top right here, just say, I'm telling you, there's some amazing stuff going on, not here, but through y'all, there's a lot of stuff going on. And when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to be able to say, hey, Lord, I did the best I could to try to motivate people to get involved and live out the kingdom. That's why I come here every day. I don't know what the fruit is. I don't even know what the fruit looks like, but I just know that there is fruit everywhere I look, and people who are not, I want to say this in the right way. I hope that Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt Ministries, never comes across as controlling. I hope nobody out there ever says, I'm thinking about doing this, but I got to get Coach Dave's approval. I hope that never, ever, ever happens, because that squashes all creativity, all initiative, when you have to go get somebody else's permission to do what it is that the Lord told you to do. Somebody out there say amen. Somebody out there. So look, I'm not talking about whether or not you should do something. That blah, blah, blah. Why do we always feel that when the Lord speaks to you, what do you need? Now, I don't mind a second. I don't mind an amen, because the Bible says out of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So here in my house, bear with me, I'm going somewhere. So here in my house, if I get something that, I think I need to do this. I think I ought to do this. And I go to my wife, I said, Michelle, look, I think the Lord wants me to do this. And she either amens it or omis it. Or then I'll say, well, no, let me call Chad Estes, because he's one of my favorite. Hey, Chad, what do you think about this? And he'll either amen it or omi it or correct it or direct it or whatever. That's why the Bible says that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. Ask yourself, in your church, come on now, in your church, is there a multitude of great counselors? Or do you have to go to some guy and he's the yes guy or he's a no guy? Huh? And it squashes creativity. Squashes it. Because you know what? You're going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to give it an account what I did in the flesh. And He's not going to say, well, did you run it by your pastor? Coach Dave, did you run it by the elder board? What? Run it by the elder board. I'm going to tell you this. There's a difference between accountability and control. Accountability and control. And in my experience, Most boards are control. Most of them. Anybody want to disagree with that? Well, so I started to say this, never really got to it. Happy birthday to my good buddy Norm Emmons. Happy birthday, Coach E. God bless you, man. We love you. I don't know what we would do, what my life would be like if you were not born. Happy birthday out there, Coach. We celebrate it with you. Celebrate it with you today. And one of the things that I guess here's where I'm trying to head this morning is religion and spiritual authority squashes individual creativity. Creativity. I think about Betty Perkins. I don't know how many trips she's made down there, but she hasn't needed the approval of some elder board or some pastor. She heard from the Lord and she said, I'm going to do it. Or she might call somebody and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Should I do this? And then there's a little bit of wisdom in there and protection in there. But she didn't sit around and have somebody anoint her to go do it. Cowboy Dave. Who's straightening out Cowboy Dave every day? Does he get up in the have to get marching orders from some elder board or some elder or some pastor somewhere, give the approval to do it? No, I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't. No, he's like everybody else. We need a little bit of accountability, a little bit of direction, and all that's. I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm trying to help you see that you and the Lord can do whatever it is he's asked you to do. And you don't need an amen from somebody else. Now, you may need an amen from somebody else if you're not sure whether or not you should do it. But I can tell you this. We could put together an elder board. We could put together a yes man elder board, couldn't we? You could put 5 of your best friends on there and they're just going to amen everything. We know that, right? Or you get into a church environment. Anyway, I'm getting off target here. I just want to salute, tip my cap to Dave Allison, who and his buddy Ben, who I wasn't allowed to talk about it last week, who drove all the way from Detroit, Michigan, and above, Ben's 3 hours above Detroit, Michigan. They drove down there. They were down there all week with Cowboy Dave. We didn't talk a lot about it because we wanted to make sure that Dave's family was safe while he was gone. So that's why I'm going to let him come in here and talk a little bit about some of the stuff. But I also, look, okay, I got to tell you a story. This is one of the greatest miracles of my life. Okay. So we got this camper. God bless Mike Blake. God bless Mike Blake. What a servant he is, man. And so Mike Blake and I said, Mike, I'm gonna run this camper down there. We put it in the shop. Jeff Klein did some work on it, did a lot of work on it, did a great job on it. And it was a 1996. It's beautiful. It's great. It hadn't been run in like forever. So they get in and they drive it down there. Dave Allison drives it down there. It breaks down in Charleston, North Carolina, Charleston, West Virginia. We put it in the shop down there, find out when it's done. I get in the car with Mike Blake. We go down to get the camper to drive farther down there. And we park Mike's car and stay with me. In West Virginia, we get behind the camper. We take off and go. 1996, hasn't gone anywhere far. Certainly hasn't gone up in the mountains like we were going. And we're cruising down the highway, just going great in this beautiful mobile home that we're going to take down to somebody, get them out of a tent. And we're just bopping along at about 60 miles an hour, not trying to drive it too fast or anything. And all of a sudden, it coughed. And I don't know if you guys ever know what it's like when the engine coughs, right? But it coughed. And Mike looked at me right away, and I looked at him and thought, what the heck was that? And we're in the middle. We're on the West Virginia Turnpike. And I don't know if you guys have ever driven on the West Virginia Turnpike. It's up and down. Right? And so we just get on the West Virginia Turnpike. This thing coughs. And the next thing we know, we have almost no power in the camper. Driving it. 30 feet long. One of the greatest miracles of my life. And we are out in the middle of nowhere. Mike's sitting beside me, he says, Coach, are you pushing on the gas? I said, dude, I got it to the floor. I'm about to push my foot through the floorboard. And there we are in the mountains, and this camper is going 10 miles an hour, top speed. It will not. So I pull over on the berm. I'm driving on the berm. And I'm watching in the rearview mirror. These semis come rolling by. And there we are. And I know that over the next hill, this thing is going to cough and it's going to be done. And we're stuck out here in the middle of nowhere. And we get up the top of the hill. And I think, Lord, get us up to the top of the hill. We get up to the top of the hill. Lord, then we're going to be able to go downhill. We'll get up some momentum. And we get at the top of the hill. And what would it be? It would be a crest and then another hill. For 35 miles, 10 miles an hour. And I was afraid to take my foot off the gas. I was afraid to pull in because I know if I take my foot off the gas, that sucker's dead out in the middle of nowhere. And the greatest miracle of my life, at 10 miles an hour, we climbed those hills and we made it to Beckley, West Virginia. And I couldn't for the life of me tell you how. We pull off to a gas station. Off of the turnpike, finally. I ran the last gate, by the way. I was about to stop. We pull off, and Mike runs into a gas station and says, hey, you know, any place, there's a garage. We don't know if we're going to call AAA. What? And the guy says, yeah, down there about 5 miles. And so we humped down there about 5 miles and found this good old boy out in the middle of nowhere. We dropped our camper off there. And Dave Allison and Ben coming back up from being down there in Swannanoa. We never made it to Swannanoa. Dave and Ben picked us up and brought us back home, and that camper is still sitting down there. This guy's going to repair it for us, going to take care of it. But, you know, the Lord blocked it for some reason, because maybe all of a sudden I hear from Mark Trump. And Mark Trump, who's over in the other direction, he says, Coach, maybe we can use that over here. And then I talked to Clay. Maybe we can use it over here. So maybe the Lord didn't want this thing in Swannanoa. Look, so we're going to go down. We're going to get that camper, and we're going to get it down to people who are freezing right now. We'll get it to them at some point. And it was the adventure of my life, because I have no idea how that thing kept running. 10 miles an hour. I have no idea. I have no idea. And so Mike and I made it home. God bless Mike Blake for being so great. And Mark Trump called. He wanted to help. And Clay called, and he wanted to help. And I guess I just want to say this morning, what a remarkable team we have out there. Joe Allen, I'm sure he'd have helped. He's clear down in Joe. I'm sure he'd have helped. Anybody, how can I help? How can I help? And I just respect that about all of you that are in here. And sometimes I got so many balls in the air, it's probably more than I can manage. And I just want to say that I experienced a miracle in those mountains, 30 miles, 10 miles an hour, expecting that thing to stop at any time. Then the crazy thing is, when we got there, Mike and I got a hotel before we took it to the garage on Friday morning. We stayed at a motel, $65 all it cost. It was nice. And I got up in the morning, went out and started up the thing. Camper, it started right up. crazy. So I never made it to Swannanoa. We never did. But Dave Allison was down there, and I want to just give you a little bit of a kind of a report. Look, friends. I know some of you don't want to hear about this. This is one of the greatest opportunities in the history of the church right now in Swannanoa. All that area down there. FEMA ain't coming. People are dying, freezing to death in tents. It's just the way it is. One of the greatest humanitarian tragedies in our lifetime. And the media isn't covering it. Nobody's covering it. Guys like Dave are down there. Left his home. He's sleeping down there in a whatever. So I want to make a couple points, and I'm going to, I don't necessarily want to talk about this, although I want to let Cowboy Dave, come on in, Dave, and just kind of give us an update what's going on. My plan was to go down there and take him out to eat. I never made it. Just want to know. Give us an update there, Dave, if you could, real quick.
Good morning, everybody. I'll start with what Coach is talking about, the greatest opportunity for humanitarian relief. Last night, about 11 o'clock, I had to go over right across the street to what was a Harley-Davidson dealership. It now is run by, and I'll just leave it, Savage Nation. And they are a not-for-profit 501c3, but they are a non-for-profit that feeds off of FEMA money, FEMA projects, even though they consider themselves not-for-profit. The point in that is I went into their area. Not only did they have showers and heat and food and restaurants bringing food to them and everything else, right across the street from me, by the way, but they just got delivered an 80-inch television. 80-inch big screen television so that the guys can watch football. And I'm not saying there's anything right or wrong with that, but within 500 steps, people froze to death 3 days before. It was two, then three and another person. So the reports are coming in. But it's just funny how the body of Christ looks at things differently versus organizations. Secondly, today's a big day because last night the first piece of equipment came in for something that I haven't really shared because there's so many moving parts that rely on people and volunteers, it would be easy for someone to be unable to keep their portion. But by Wednesday, we will have on site at the camp a offloader for logs. We will have truckers that are logging truckers from all over the East Coast coming in to bring loads of dry logs. And this organization, this company, this man that owns it, does about $2 million a year in firewood, is bringing his whole crew, six people, plus all of his automated splitters and conveyor belts to cut, split, stack, and make available firewood for the people of this area free. Yeah. And I'm talking 100 cords. I don't know what it's going to end up being. It's going to end up being a lot. The guy told me last night that I went over to see it, Harley Davidson, that has the offloading rig. He just got in town. He said there's truckers that have responded hundreds of loads of logs from all over the country. So we're going to be able to provide not just firewood this year, but next winter, free, even delivering it at times.
So, Dave, but part of the problem we're seeing right now is propane, and people are delivering propane, and that's good. But that's expensive, isn't it, Dave, to run through a can of propane, and then you got to go get another can of propane, and firewood's going to become more and more that's the word I'm looking for. Makes more sense. Right, Dave?
Uh-huh. Yes. And even delivering gas cans like the guys did, and they delivered propane one day and gas cans filled the next, that's still a $150 trip every time you get in the truck to take the cans. And that's just exchanging cans. That's not buying new cans every time. So we're doing the best we can, the generosity of the body of Christ and the Pass the Salt ministry. But we're making a difference, folks. I mean, it's not an imagination. It's not an ego thing. We are making a difference. I've got people all around me right now waving. They're bringing coffee. And the reason why is because they're beginning to tune into the things of the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt in my mind we'll see dozens and dozens and dozens of people truly and genuinely make a decision to live for the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, mind, and strength while we're here. So thank you to everyone. This is a tremendous, tremendous time headed into Christmas.
Amen, Dave. Appreciate all you do down there, man. And we continue to support Cowboy Dave and Will. Now, look, thanks, Dave. Dave Allison, come on in here, Dave, because Dave Allison and his buddy Ben were down there all week, and you know, we didn't say who it was that was down there. And Dave, just kind of give us a report on what you saw is going on down there.
Good morning, everyone. Coach, reason why I didn't want to tell you, I didn't tell Sherry I was going down. Just kidding.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's right. That's right.
No, anyways, hey everyone, hey, it was a really pleasure and honor to go down and represent the body of Christ and the Pass the Salt Ministries. But really important, something I want to read to you that is critical, and it just emphasizes what Coach said here this morning. And Coach has preached John chapter 10. And if you go about the true shepherd, and John 10 2 starts off like this. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That verse 3 is so critical, and you can use that one verse alone to evaluate the pastor who is leading you. And if he's not, first of all, and he calls his own sheep by name. I want you to remember this morning, guess what? Coach mentioned a plethora of people, men and women, that he can call by name and say, hey, amen. And what's more important, and then he leads them out. And what's so similar about Coach Dave and Cowboy Dave is they're leading the body of Christ out. I never had that in any ministry in my whole life. It was all about bringing people in.
Yes.
And that is paramount, folks. to understand how important Pass the Salt ministry is and Cowboy Days ministry is. So I wanted to share that with you. I want that to settle into your heart, how the impact that this ministry is having is because the shepherd is leading the people out. So I said all that.
Dave, you become the shepherd. You took somebody with you. It's a multiplication thing, right? We get engaged. I'm going to go and I'm going to take Ben with me. And folks, that's man, he leads them out. Go ahead, Dave.
And when we met with coach for a hot second Saturday night before we went down, and never once did coach tell me, Dave, I want you to do this. Dave, I want you to do this. Make sure you don't say this, and make sure you go see this brother. He never said anything. Dave, he just said, Dave, go with the Lord's blessing and do as God shows you how to do. So Amen. We get down there, and guess what Cowboy Dave does? He meets up with us, and the first thing he does, and he shows us the mission field that's in front of us. And he shows us this area, that area, this area. Boys, this is your mission field. Guess what? Pretty soon he says to us, I want you to load that truck up full of propane cans, and I want you to go. You two guys. He didn't go with us. I want you two guys to go. He showed us where the mission field was. And there we were. We were in amongst the people talking to them. They were giving us hugs. We were crying together. I'm telling you, until you set your foot on the mission field, you really don't understand what the mission is before you. And that's why the church becomes ineffective. But because Cowboy Dave is down there, boots on the ground, and if anybody knows how to minister to the hurting and the downtrodden, that brother right there has got a heart like I've never seen before in my life.
But Dave, we would also confess that he is overwhelmed as well, isn't he? He's one guy, man, and all of these issues going on around him, it's overwhelming, isn't it?
Absolutely. And forgive my sarcastic humor, but if you send Dave Graham 10 semi-loads of Pop-Tarts, at the end of the day, when somebody needs a propane heater, or like Coach showed Friday, someone just needs a porta-pot. Those things are absolutely useless. I shared with Coach just to show you how inept. For example, a box truck full of frozen turkeys in most situations on a holiday would be a blessing, right? But what does a guy in a tent with a propane heater trying to keep his family alive do with a frozen turkey?
Amen.
I'm telling you. And so that's why what's so critical, you have to understand, is by financing Cowboy Dave, he can meet the need immediately. Doesn't matter what it is. And sure, he's got a plethora of things on site that he can give to the person. Hey, they need a propane heater. Yep, got it. I need a blanket. Yep, I got that. But more importantly, is if there's a financial need to go buy something, you know, Dave has the means to just go and get it immediately and fill the need. And I told Coach, I've never seen anybody better be able to discern between the needy and the greedy. Dave he knows. He can see him. And he'll tell you, be careful, these folks. They're just in it for the money. And, you know, he pointed them out. And that's important. But it was a wonderful experience, a life-changing experience. I tell you, folks, when I got up yesterday, I got home late Saturday night, and I walked out of my bedroom up the living room. I almost felt guilty. I almost felt guilty. I had a bed to sleep in, that I had a house to walk up and use the restroom, that I had a coffee pot. I mean, you got to realize that these people. It's just a clean slate where their house used to be. There's nothing there that might even resemble their house there. There's no dirt to plant a lawn in. It's just silt from the river that they're putting their tent on top of. They have nowhere to go. And I tell you, I'm still crying. I'm still trying to get my head back and just try to, Lord, man. But yet, I want to thank everyone in this program who has donated to the cause, because it's a great cause, and God has led us to Cowboy Dave because he's the guy. I'm telling you, he's probably making a bigger impact. There is a place down there called Silverados. They're doing an excellent job of distributing goods. They've got, and here's another guy, lost his whole business. He's a local guy. He's got a heart, right? He's not an outsider. He's not the hireling. That's a big difference, right? So this Amen. Guy's not the hireling. He might not even be a man of faith per se, but he had a heart for the people, and he understands, and he wants to serve them. So he set up a large distribution center. And here's something really cool. Guess who comes and donates his time? Is Oliver Anthony. Richmond, north of Richmond, comes there a couple times a week and donates his time. You know, doesn't make a big deal about it. And people were telling me there that Oliver Anthony comes in there a couple times and just helps hand out goods to people. For me, that'd be like Donald Trump handing a bag of French fries out. I'm telling you right now. So anyways, I could go on and on and on about all. There were so many God moments. That's what struck me, is we were in the right place at the right time with the right thing. And I was kind of chuckling inside. I said, God, I can't believe how you orchestrated this. This is amazing. And so anyways, folks, thanks so much. But again, kudos to all of those who came before me in this ministry that have touched my heart, encouraged me to go out and be part of the body of Christ and be the salt of the earth. God, thank you.
Me too.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks to my wife. She kept the home fires burning here. And I'm telling you, I got this ranch going. And, you know, and I want to say she burned herself on her arm. She was doing some stuff. And she was home here by herself. And I'll tell you what, she's a tough cookie, and she took care of things.
God's faithful, y'all.
Dave, how long a trip was it? How long a trip was it down there for you, Dave?
It's about a 12-hour drive down.
And Ben went 3 more hours. So Ben went 15.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so Ben, I drove 3, and then he had driving the 3 hours.
Folks, there's nothing that will change you more than serving others. There's nothing that will change you more. It will make, and by the way, that's why our religious system, the way it's set up, you give the money to the church, and then the church divvies it out, and you never get the one-on-one contact of looking in somebody's eye when you hand them a coat or you hand them a pair of underwear. You never get that one-on-one contact. And it's that one-on-one contact that will change your life. And I could run down a litany of guys in here who are, whether they want to admit it or not, have started their own ministries and are doing stuff. That's the thing that most encourages my heart, that you guys are out there. I'm not going to start naming names because you know who you are. You know who you are. And you're living out your faith. And what do? You go before them. You lead the sheep out. That's what we've tried to do here. Lead you out. Say, there's a pasture. Go get it. Fields are wide into the harvest. And many of you picked up the ball and run with it. And I just appreciate it so much. And then, you know, I'm having trouble in our trip. I'm telling you what a miracle that was. And who calls me? Mark Trump lives over the hill. And he said, Coach, we might need that thing. Maybe that thing's not supposed to go down this one. Mark, come on in, man, and talk a little bit about that.
People change, Coach. People come back changed from these trips. I came back changed. But imagine going, doing your thing, and you hear somebody or see somebody, and you go to help them, and they're buried up to their chest. And they're about to die, and you go to help them out, and they don't want help. And they say they felt their wife scratching their leg stop 3 days ago or something, buried beneath him with their children. That happened. So yesterday we talked to a guy who was friends with him. And we just delivered a whole bunch of stuff down there and some propane bottles, a whole bunch of clothes and blankets. And distributing it is the hard part. Yes. So the people who are staying down there and helping find people to get the stuff to is the hardest part of all, guys. And we had trouble getting rid of a truckload of stuff. We got a camp. We're setting it up. But we as in somebody I went down with and helped them. And I'm vetting this camp. It's owned by a millionaire. Now, this is a fix I'm in. What if Legends, the owner of Legends, Coach, said, I'm forming a disaster relief and ask you to help? And you know all the positives and you know the alliance you would form. And this is where you got to vet the camps that you go into and make sure that they're not like that one we heard about across the street from Cowboy Dave's camp, right?
Right, right.
So you got to vet where our goods go. Even that RV, coach, we need to vet, make sure it's the right home for something of Jesus. And I've walked the property. I prayed over it. I had one-on-ones with individuals over the fire pit. But all these camps aren't about Jesus. They're about serving people. Some are taking advantage of people. Some aren't. Some are just there because they have nowhere else to go. The guy running this camp came from Minnesota and was funded, was given a place to live, given a vehicle. The guy left a horrible situation in Minnesota, basically homeless, and now is running this camp. So I'm being very cautious. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's many, many of these setting up too. So there's plenty to do. You got to go see. Don't matter where you go down there. Go with people if you want to, but just go see what's going on. You just won't believe it. I live next to it. Clay's right down there in it. It's just even hard to believe for us still. But thanks, Coach, for the platform to get word out.
Yeah, 3 months, 3 months removed. And again, the this is critical. Are you guys looking at me? We all of us need to think long and hard. If disaster hits me here in my area, are we prepared? Are we prepared? And again, one of the issues that we're dealing with, there's no unity among the churches down there. There's no unity. I don't know if there's a ministerial association in Swanano or not, but I can tell you this, chances are pretty good they're not working together. Everybody's doing their own thing, expecting FEMA to come in and fix everything up, and it doesn't work that way. In fact, I found this out, didn't know this. Did you know that FEMA is not a disaster relief group? Did you guys know that? The FEMA's job is not disaster relief, although we all think so. FEMA is a continuity of government organization. FEMA comes into town to make sure that chaos doesn't break out. They come in to undergird local government. They do not come in for disaster relief. So again, it's all about government. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? So now FEMA's pulled out because FEMA realizes, well, that looks like everything's getting along here pretty good. And here are all these people. Okay, look, somebody said, well, you get on to something else. Folks, it gets in you. When you get down there and you see it, it gets in you. And so we're down there, me and Mike Blake, and we're telling people what we're doing. You know, why our trucks broke down. We're taking relief. And, you know, they look at you like, huh? Wasn't that a long time ago that happened down there? I mean, it's just, is it, do you see hurricane relief on the news? I don't watch the news. Do you guys see it? Are they talking about it? It's like it never happened, right? Now I'm going to show you something here. This is what I think's going on. Pull up. I didn't number them this morning. It says contamination. Go to 5 minute and 13 minute mark. I want you to watch this, folks. Because this was from Grindstone, all right? And this was a kind of a forum. I think Clay sent this to me. And we're going to hear from Grindstone. This is 5 minutes and 13 seconds. Start at the 5 minute and 13 second mark. And then you can play it at about 1.5 speed. And the guy that runs Grindstone, who we were partnering with, you're not going to believe what you're going to hear from him. It's about to go ahead. Put it at 1.5 speed. Let him talk about the contamination that they have found in the ground down there. Go ahead.
The founder and president of Grindstone Ministries, 501c3 nationally registered, same authority as the American Red Cross. We do disaster relief, which is different than disaster recovery. So we get in immediately after the storm, and our goal is preservation of life. Food, water, shelter, med, search and rescue, thermoregulation, management of displaced peoples, et cetera, et cetera. 100% privately funded. Don't take money from FEMA. Don't take money from the state government. Don't take money from municipalities. Don't take money from homeowners. We're just privately supported by the Bear Nation and folks like y'all. So with that preamble, we deployed to Hurricane Helene for approximately 30 days. We were based out of Jonesboro, Tennessee, which is on the border with North Carolina, Western North Carolina. And
slow it down, if you will, Spence. This is worth hearing. Slow it down. I'm sorry. Put it at 1.25 maybe. Try that.
360 volunteers during that time. Predominantly what Grindstone does is debris remediation. That's what we're good at. Chainsaws, heavy equipment, dump trucks, dump trailers, haul the bad stuff out. We're like surgeons. Trust me enough for me to come in here, cut the bad stuff out, and then leave so you can begin to heal. That's what we do. Hurricane Helene, we did not do that. We were predominantly focused on distribution. We were Amazon for hill people. That's what we did because that's what the need was. You tell me what you need, I'll get it to you within 24 hours. And shout out to the awesome people who came out and volunteered, because we had mountains of excellent people who dropped everything they had, drove literally all the way across the country to come and sleep on a cot and love on people they never met before in their life. That's what makes Grindstone amazing. So I had a gut feeling that the soil and the water was bad. Call it intuition, call it whatever you want. We were telling our people from jump, stay out of the water, stay out of the silt. We did a 24-hour stand down at one point because we were getting reports of cadaver dogs getting sick, of first responders getting sick, of locals getting sick. And I needed more information because I didn't want any of the people who had come and volunteered their time and spent their own money to come out here and help to get sick as well. So we did a 24-hour stand down where we stayed at our FOB, the Cherry Grove Baptist Church, 104 Cherry Grove Road, Jonesboro, Tennessee. We stayed there for 24 hours so we could get a better handle on what was going on. During that time, we decided to start taking soil and water samples. We were also encouraging everybody in the community, the local law enforcement, local governance, the residents, constituents, everybody, to take soil samples, take water samples, and take multiples and send one set to the state testing labs and then send other sets of samples to independent labs so we could compare contrast to find out whether the state labs were giving different data than what the private individual labs were giving. So, excuse me, we took a lot of different samples. Specifically, what I'm going to tell you about today, and for anybody who wants to, you can just screenshot this little matrix that's right here. The yellow was bad, okay? The yellow was yellow, green, whatever that is. I'm super colorblind. The highlighted areas are bad, okay? So this is coming out of Bumpus Cove, Tennessee, which is right on the Nolichucky River, which is right upstream from Little Germany. If you've been following Grindstone Ministries, you'll be familiar.
Okay, go ahead and put this in the chat. I'm not going to go ahead and play the whole thing. The point is, he's going to show you charts now. They spent $5,000, sent away these samples to find out what was in the soil. And folks, it is absolutely unbelievable. And contamination. And they're not sure what the contamination is from, but probably, truth be told, much of this area is probably uninhabitable. Probably is. Now, where did that come from? They said maybe that earlier, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there was some type of atomic chemical spill up in the mountain area, and maybe it's flushed down, and then all the mudslides and all this kind of stuff. Folks, this thing is, if we would get an expose on what really has happened, what our government knows has happened, and what they're covering up, it would be staggering. Put that in the chat. I just didn't want to spend another 15 minutes listening to it. The information is absolutely unbelievable. Okay, I got some more stuff here, but I'm gonna get some of y'all in here real quickly. Gino, come on in.
Yeah, I was just kind of glancing at my TV on the news that J.D. Vance is coming down to North Carolina today. So let's see what's going to happen if something changes or stays the same.
You know, I got a call from J.R. Harrison last night. It was a good call. And he said, Coach, what are we doing? What are we doing to bring attention to those people? Where the hell's the government? What are we doing? Where are they? How come we're not raising a stink over that? Huh? How come? How do we do that? These people, out of sight, out of mind, right? Oh, they're still dealing with that flood down there. Really? I mean, it's amazing. Amazing. If it was Black Lives Matter, it'd be all over the news every night long, wouldn't it, folks? Joe Allen, come on in.
Boom, Coach.
Coach, that TJ there is one that called me. We were going to relieve him up there with my son's crew to do the excavation up there. Uh-huh. TJ called me and told me not to go because it was contaminated.
Joseph, they have, cadaver dogs are dying. Cadaver
right.
dogs
right. are dying. He, I put that tread out on our little thing when he told me to watch it. But TJ, he's the one I get all my medical gear from, and he's out there with Randy. In that area. But he's also got Caleb houses where women and children that have been abused or trafficking. Yeah. So he's got quite a few businesses going out there, but he's true. Well, Joseph,
we know this, Joseph. Again, are you going to, in that video, people are having their shoes melt off their feet.
Right.
Do you understand that, folks? They don't melt off. It's not like they're on fire. The chemicals in the shoes eats away the rubber on their shoes. There's something.
Well, not all. Only that is all the vehicles that are driving on the roads are kicking up that dust, and the people are breathing into their lungs.
They want people out of there, folks. They want people out of there. Steve Deck, come on in.
Yeah. So what is alluded to the fact was the. Irwin, Tennessee has you punch it up, there's a big, it's flatland on Route 26 there. And there is IPEX Pipe Company. So all the chemicals that manufacture PVC pipe went downstream. And then on the other side of the road is some nuclear waste disposal plant where a 10,000 square foot building, all their waste product of nuclear waste went downstream. And that was in Irwin, Tennessee. It's devastating.
So, Steve, in the video that we're just watching there of Grindstone, he goes on to say this, that they believe that the pipes that are already there, the water pipes that are there in the cities, are permanently contaminated. Now, understand this. The pipes broke. Water stopped. They're going to rebuild it. But the pipes that are currently already there probably have been contaminated with this poison that ran down. You guys understand how that would happen?
One thing that I noticed, because I had to drive past that facility on the highway for days, you know, going back and forth from Tennessee to North Carolina, I saw miles of yellow pipe. Now, I don't think it was new because it was all mixed in with the dirt. And I'm wondering if that might have been their water supply line. They were like 4-inch PVC pipe, but miles of it in a massive pile, you know, and who knows?
Yeah. Well, Steve, what they're saying, though, is the pipes that are currently there that they will reconnect, those pipes are already contaminated. That they can patch them up and put new pipe in, but at some point they connect to the pipe that's already there, and the pipe that's already there is contaminated. So,
the good thing when I was down there, though, I was on the I learned about it quickly, but I was on the high part of the mountains, and we were higher than that water level, and we were just doing a lot of tree removal. But praise the Lord.
Yeah, there's a lot in this. Still a lot to do. Thanks, Steve. Roger, come on in.
Hey, Dave, real quick. From those that went down and yourself, you're in a trailer. Thank the Lord that you're warm. The ground's contaminated. It sounds like there could be a future problem. What's the game plan of the person who's living in a trailer now? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because... it would, and I understand it's their home, their grandma's buried there, and I understand all that. But it seems to me that it may be they have to move out of that area, not because they want to, but they cannot live there.
They cannot live there.
So I understand that maybe they'll make it through the winter in a trailer or whatever, but come spring, maybe there's going to have to be a huge relocation if it is contaminated. If the infrastructure takes a long time to come back, there comes a time when you have to maybe make the decision and that I've got to move out of here. There's no work. There's no jobs. There's no work. Yep. I've often, wondered if the ministry is how to get people up north a little bit to where there is housing, there is employment, so on and so forth. And again, I've not been down there, and I understand their land and families and all that, but it's starting to sound to me like it's a long, long haul. And if in fact there is the contamination that is being illustrated, you don't want to be living there.
No, you don't, Roger. And people were saying that was a plan, right? To get that land so they can get down there and get that lithium. That this, none of this is by accident. See, that's the ultimate conspiracy theorist. Folks, we got to start thinking this way, man. We got to start thinking this way. They're doing it on purpose. There's a devil loose. We don't understand it. Jack.
Okay, so it's time to learn to use their insanity against them. Every one of these sanctuary states every one of these sanctuary cities should be taking these refugees from Western North Carolina. We need to force them to do that. They made the proclamation. Now we need to go, if you live in or around, to a mayor and you say, these are refugees. If you don't take them, Trump's going to take all these other people out and send them home. Then we'll have plenty of place for these refugees. They need to be declared refugees.
Right. Well, Jack, you know, that's a great point. But I said to Mike Blake as we were going 10 miles an hour, I said, I don't understand it. Why aren't the churches open? Why are they letting people sleep in tents? Why aren't the schools open? Why aren't public buildings open? Why don't they get these people out of tents? I'm telling you, man, it's like a mind freeze. I don't know, man. Johnny.
Yeah, because they don't care. They don't care. They don't want anything. They want it to go down, it sounds like. And the other question I have is, we're talking about contamination. I'm wondering to myself, hey, this is happened now. I mean, this has happened a while back now. And I understand that they're taking water and soil samples, but I mean, come on, we've got better technology than this. We should know what it is. I mean, did I miss that? Does anybody know what it is? Maybe I missed what it is. What is it? It's contaminating everything.
Johnny, you broke up there for about 30 seconds. We didn't hear the first part of that question.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. To reiterate, I asked, maybe I missed it, but given all of the time that's gone by since this thing began, I mean, do we not have the technology already? I mean, I know they said they're getting water and soil samples to send in. Yeah. And then do you even trust the state to tell you the truth, what it is?
What we're dealing with. Huh?
Did I miss it? Did somebody come up with what it is that's contaminating everything? Is it lithium? What is it?
Great question. Well, if you watch that video, he'll show you what it is. He'll show you the contaminant. They've got what's in the water. They've got questions. Where did all of it come from? What is this stuff? Were the clouds seeded with it? Where did all this poison that's in the soil, where did it come from? Maybe Mark Trump knows. You know, Mark?
You got all the nuclear sites. You got the nuclear waste disposal. There's Crystal River and several others that shut down. There's unspent fuel, which is still decaying, that was flooded. So the question is, are all of these things above ground watertight? In an industrial complex, if all of their chemicals are watertight and could withstand the flood, of course they got washed away, so it don't really matter if they were watertight, Coach. But what about a nuclear site? What got washed away?
Remember Love Canal, folks? Love Canal, remember that?
Yep. What got washed away at the nuclear site? Plural.
Wow.
Do we know? Who would say that this stuff got washed away? Who's going to say that?
And Mark,
so I think that's what we're talking about. So lessons
Mark,
learned
who's,
here.
Who's going to make the call that this is uninhabitable? Who is going to make
that call? That's a whole separate thing. What kind of people live somewhere like this? Well, what kind of people lives in a flood zone? What kind of people lives on the edge of a sandbar? And the government goes in every year and fixes them when there's a hurricane. Who does that? We do. Yeah. You can't stop people from living in disaster zones. The big deal about it is genetics are going to change. Over in Fukushima, genetics changed.
Seed
when we
the
dropped
serpent.
The atomic bomb, genetics changed. Genetics
seed,
are going to be changed because of this, and this whole region is going to have genetic anomalies because of, you're back to, somebody put land grab, but it's about depopulation of areas that are not metropolises.
Mark,
to the city. Yeah.
So how about if we make the connection between that and the changing of the DNA with COVID and all of that stuff? See, folks,
depopulation of whom?
Folks, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. It's about the seed.
Amen.
folks, until we understand how this game's being played, we're not going to get it. Joe Allen, come on in.
TJ, a.k.a. Bear there, he said that one of his crew members went up that way where they stored the nuclear waste. He said the whole thing was flooded and torn up. So that's what's it. And he put this explanation out there. This is another 3 Mile Island.
Do you suppose any of that stuff will get into the river and then flow into another river and flow into another river and flow into another river and end up down in Florida? Suppose that'll happen? Oh, my goodness, folks. Huh?
Well, the lesson, Coach, is everywhere we go that we're going to stay for more than 24 hours, we need to ask, have y'all done soil samples? Do y'all know the radiation in this area? Yeah. I've already started a process to get this rich guy that owns his camp. He's got to do soil samples. There's a river running right by it. Annie, my puppy, was in it. Yeah. So here we are, not knowing, like whoever was on the call just said, don't we know yet? Well, now I'm going to know. I'm going to do the samples. Yeah. I'm going to make Andy pay for them, you know? So if he will, I think he will, because he's bringing people in. He's got to make it safe, just like Grindstone. This is what we got to do, guys. Everywhere we go, we got to take this type of truth with us and really continue. I really appreciate you showing that video, Coach.
Now, thanks, Mark. Now's not the time to cower, folks. Now is the time that we got to speak up, exactly what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. We got to speak up now because nobody else is going to do it. And no matter how much your friend, it's amazing how all those conspiracy theories that we have are coming true, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? All that COVID, all that conspiracy about COVID coming true.
And here, wow.
What's that? Amanda. Come on in, Amanda. You got to unmute yourself. No? Come on, Amanda. We want to hear from you. Keith, go ahead.
Now, didn't they have nukes underneath the Orville Dam here a couple of years out in California?
Probably. Probably, yeah. I mean, we create this stuff. When you get into that video that we just showed there, folks, the chemical that combinations that these chemicals that they've made, it's like a freaking chemical Frankensteins. What is that stuff? What do you call that? And what's that do? And it's all in there. Amanda, let's try it again. Got to unmute. Got to click on your microphone and on your phone. I can see you. Jack. No? Huh? Okay, I'm going to switch gears.
I'm back.
Yeah, go. I got you. Go, Amanda.
Okay, sorry. I live here in the thick of it, and my friend's horse, not even a week and a half ago, drank some of the water and died because of the contamination. Nice. And it is so real. It is beyond what anyone is saying on the news. It is beyond anything that you, even what you guys are speaking about. I have video evidence. I help numerous people in this area, and the devastation is so bad. I have a family right now that is, her husband is in the hospital because he fell into the water. It is eating his flesh. And people need to understand that this is beyond anything we could fathom. And this is not natural. This is not a natural thing.
What state are you in, Amanda?
I'm in North Carolina. I live in the mountains of North Carolina.
Wow. Thank you, dear. Jeff Klein.
Coach, a little update from our weekend. You know, it's like Dave Allison said, it's kind of hard to talk about what you're doing here when we got a home and a bedroom to sleep in and all that's going on down there. It makes it tough. But I want to give this update. You talked about the sea of the serpent, the sea of the woman. So we did our little parade there in Bladensburg, and you know that's not a very big town. And Pastor Matt's gotten some riff. Why do you get involved with that secular Christmas parade? Well, here's why. We had the wagon full of probably 15, 18 little kids, and they did the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. The mountain's decorated up on the little wagon. We had a couple young kids that played saxophone and trumpet playing it, and then they had kazoos. So the kids would sing it with the trumpet and the saxophone, or they'd do their kazoos. They'd switch back and forth through this whole parade. Pastor Matt's standing up on there, lifting the name of Jesus, that Jesus Christ is born, and make the Sunday schools great again. He's just going, they're having a blast, these kids. And as we're going down through town, we're passing out little baggies. Instead of throwing candy, we're passing out New Testament Bibles with a little track in there and a Bible. We did 300 little New Testament Bibles in the big village of Bladensburg, 300. There was kids lined up in the streets, and the trailer would come down through, and the kids are singing that song, and the groups of people along the sidewalks were singing it. I mean, it was just, it was a good, productive day just to reach the people. We're walking beside the float, going out into the crowd, up on the porches, just blanking in the town. So it was a good day here for that. Just to-
so Jeff, yesterday, Mary Beth, thanks, Jeff. So yesterday, our grandson, LD, little Dave, Sunday, their local basketball league began. Little Dave, how old's David? 9. Little David was scheduled to play basketball at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Basketball. By the way, he played and they went to church afterwards. However, you couldn't get in the place. That was the real church, folks. The gymnasium was the real church. It was packed to the gills. And how did we get to the point in America where the pastors don't stand up and complain and march on the local school system and say, what in the hell are you doing on Sunday morning?
Amen.
They don't even think anything about it. What a crowd was there in that gymnasium filled with little boys playing basketball at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I get it, Janine. It's not the Sabbath. I get that. But it is here. It is in their heart. It is. People go to church on Sunday, whether it's right or not. They go to church on Sunday. The church has no influence in the local community.
It's amen.
How does that happen? How does that happen? I wouldn't even have a football coach's a player meeting on Sunday morning back in the day when I was coaching. They'd have run me out of town. Mary Beth, come in.
Or Saturday night for that. It's just also sad. And I think I lost my train of thought. Something Jeff said, dang it, was good too. I'll raise my hand again. I can't remember.
Oh, the salt has lost its savor. That's all I know. The salt has lost its savor. One more thing. I want to end it with this. I got time. Quickly. Candace Owens. Real quick. Candace Owens.
Okay.
People. If you say to me you should respect people, I always respect people. I would disrespect you if I lied to you. I'm not going to call a man a woman. I'm not going to call a woman a man. I'm not going to say sorry for saying telling the truth.
Your beliefs.
It's not my belief. A woman cannot be a man. A man cannot be a woman. It's not
again,
a belief.
But I'm saying in your perception of the world is different from someone else's perspective. Because just as emphatic as you are, that you believe what you just said, there's someone that believes emphatically the opposite.
Okay, so what you're talking about is the idea that everything can be subjective and there's no such thing as truth. And let me tell you why that, but that's why it's either yes or no.
No, because we either we're either talking about feelings or facts.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I believe there is objective truth, okay?
Okay.
A person that is born a man, okay, a person that is born with a penis, as we call it, okay, cannot ever grow up and give birth. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, so there is such thing as an objective truth. I will not apologize for sharing objective truth. I'm not going to apologize for not saying because his feelings are hurt and do you see how I feel? Because
you have no problem going throughout the world hurting people's feelings.
I have no problem going out the world. That's one way to pitch it. telling people the truth so they can better their lives, so they can live in reality and not the one, but not, what not if, the fantasy be, land but that what they're if creating someone for their
believes
lives.
That that is a better life for them.
Okay, well, let's play it your way then. Let's do it the other way. There are a group of people who are now referring to themselves as minor attracted people.
Oh, can't go there.
Hey, but that's what they believe. They believe that they are in love and want to have sex with children. They believe that, Nick. They believe it. And are you going to apologize when you call them pedophiles? Are you going to apologize, Nick? Are you going to have them on your podcast?
That's a hell of
Don't
a point.
You understand how they feel on the inside when you say that they can't have sex with 8-year-olds?
That is a hell of a point.
It is. The slippery slope is not a fallacy.
We gotta go. The battle's over truth. See you tomorrow. God bless you.